Hey, Fatty, Philly open. Y'all don't even know. Hey, y'all don't even know who I got next to me.
I don't think they need to know.
I think they do. I really think they do. I got the one and only.
The only one.
The only one. The legendary.
The incredible Mr. Fantastic Scheme Riches.
Hold on. Say that again.
The incredible Mr. Fantastic Scheme Riches, a.k.a. the Nostalgia King Flow Mo.
Yo, check 1, 2, 1, 2, what's good, y'all? B-Boy Wicked here, the funk is real, podcast is activated. Shout out to all the B-Boys and B-Girls worldwide. Just got back from Philly, from the Philly Open. Shout out to my guy, Allen, A. Fatty. Breaking for Gold Nationals was going down, too. And just to let y'all know, for people who weren't there, I set up shop and was interviewing people. Had my little podcast equipment. And one of my guests, one of the most influential DJs in the scene today. Very special guest, Philly representing, go by the name of Scheme Rich. Check it out. Big Scheme. In the building.
Talk to me.
In the flesh. You tell me. How you feeling today?
Yo, I'm feeling young. I'm feeling young and I'm feeling fresh.
Okay.
I'm feeling like $1 million.
Okay.
Still doing what I do.
You look like $1 million.
Yo, you know how I do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Staying young. Feeling good. Enjoying the scene. Seeing the progress of what's going on.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about, man. Hey, let everybody know what year you started DJing.
I started DJing in 1981. Age of 10.
10 years old.
I got my first set of turntables. Well, let me back up.
Okay.
So I was DJing with other kids that was my age, and they older brothers had turntables.
Interesting. Okay.
So we would go to their house after school and practice while their brothers wasn't home.
Man, that's crazy.
And then that was 81. So Christmas of 81, I got my first set of I got one turntable, a mixer, and I already had it taped up.
Okay.
And then summer of 82, I was in my first schoolyard battle.
Hold on. At the school, you had...
Schoolyard. We used to practice in the schoolyard because my homie lived across the street from the schoolyard, so we would bring his turntables and run the electric from his crib, from his garage, to the schoolyard. And I lost that battle. That was the first and only battle I've lost. So I lost like 10 records because we used to battle for crates.
Yeah, battle for crates.
Yeah, this is 11 years old.
At 11 years old.
So I lost my first battle and it didn't feel good. So I vowed after that never to come out and lose. And that next summer after that, 83, there was no kid 12 years old messing with me after that.
Man, that's...
Because that's a hurting feeling to lose your only 10 records.
Yeah, I just got that hit different, man. When you
right.
Yo,
because I had to buy my records with my lunch money.
You didn't eat that day.
I didn't eat that day. My mom used to give me $2. I used to spend $1 on a drink, $1 on a bag of chips. I mean, a quarter on a drink, a quarter on a bag of chips, a quarter on a chocolate chip cookie, and then like a quarter after school for a snack. And then the other dollar, I would save till the end of the week and then go buy records.
Man, this is wild. You hear this, y'all? Hey, let everybody know what kind of turntables you had at the time.
Technics SLB 100s.
Was that with the belt?
With the belt. Straight arm. I think they was like $49.95.
And what kind of mixer did you have?
A Gemini MX 1100.
Okay, Gemini. Did it have a crossfader?
Yeah, because that was the standard. Yeah, that was the standard back then. The black and white Gemini MX 1100 mixer, that was the one like Jazzy Jeff and Cash Money and all those guys made famous. That was the standard.
Okay, all right. What type of music were you spinning?
Oh, back then it was just strictly you were spinning breakbeats and you were spinning like the early Sugar Hill and the early Enjoy records. Like my first 12-inch I bought was Cool Kyle, the Star Child. Do You Want to Get Funky 12-inch. That was like my first.
Wait a minute. You only had one turntable. So how'd you create a mix that way with one turntable?
So you would basically make a pause tape of all your songs and then you would scratch to the tape. and then you put the turntable on the other side so you can get nice with the other hand.
I see. So you would have a tape deck and put it into one channel of the mixer.
Yep. Yep.
And so the pause tape would be so you could make loops of a beat and you could just keep cutting on it.
Yep.
All right. I'm feeling that. How old were you when you did your first big party that gave you a name? How old were you?
That was elementary school, so that would have been 80. That would have been 85. I think it was 85. So that was elementary school, sixth grade, graduation party.
Was this at a house or
in the schoolyard? No, that was in the school. That was in the schoolyard, and the schoolyard that I went to.
You been rocking parties.
So, because we had something called Color Day in school, and it would be like the red team versus the blue team, and there'd be all these different games. And it was like my teachers knew I DJed, and it was like, oh, do you want to play the blah blah blah? So me and my homies carried my turntables and mixers. I live like four blocks from school, so we carried my turntable and mixers to school and plugged in. And my first speakers was like, I made them. They were like milk crate, and I had speakers wire tied into them and then stuffed it with fiberglass. And then so that was two of them. And then I had two speakers that my grandfather gave me from his stereo system.
And you were in sixth grade doing this?
Sixth grade.
Now, you know what's really crazy is you started doing this in 81.
Right.
You had the homies and the older brothers had equipment and you were practicing on their gear.
Yep. And actually, we wasn't supposed to. They older brothers wasn't having that.
Right.
But we would go home after school and practice until they came home.
Man, Scheme, I'm telling you right now, I'm getting goosebumps listening to the story only because I have a similar story.
Right, okay.
In 1991, 10 years later, same situation. I have friends, and their older brothers, they had a DJ crew.
Right.
We would go to their house, cut up for several months after school without them knowing.
See?
On the eighth month.
Somebody found out.
On the eighth month, we showed up and the needles were gone.
Oh, so they knew.
Man, they knew. All the gear was still there. My records, I just bought new records. And I can't wait to get to the padded cut up. And we get there and the needles were gone.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there for 10, 15 minutes looking at my homie like, damn, yo, what we gonna do now? And then you know what he told me this month?
You wanna start breakdancing?
That's when I started breaking.
Wow.
Shout out to the older brothers.
Wow. Yo, that's crazy. But see, you know what? That's that journey.
Right.
It's the journey. It's the stories.
Yes.
The journey and the stories is what's priceless about culture, about growing up. It's those stories.
But how ironic is that we had that same similar story.
Right.
10 years apart.
Crazy.
Hey, I hope y'all enjoyed this interview. This was definitely something that I wanted to keep in there as far as the noise in the background and the music, because for the people that weren't there, I wanted y'all to feel the vibe, feel the energy of how the event went. Breaking for Gold USA Nationals, the Philly Open. Shout out to A Fatty. Shout out to Scheme Rich for doing this interview with me. How crazy is it? I'm going to say it again. How crazy was it that we have the same similar stories of how we started DJing 10 years apart? Wow. Incredible. Thank y'all for joining me. Stay tuned for the next episode. This is The Funk Is Real. This episode of The Funk Is Real is sponsored by A Fatty.